Penguin Random House Audio presents Chasing the Thrill, Obsession, Death, and Glory in America's Most Extraordinary Treasure Hunt. This is the author, Daniel Barbarisi. For Elliot and Reed, who have so many adventures yet to come. Prologue, June 7th, 2017. Do you hear that? My treasure hunting partner, Beep, kept his eyes glued to the map. Hear what? He asked me without looking up. It sounded like thunder, I said, glancing up at the sky, which minutes before had been clear and blue and pristine. Now it was blackening, suddenly ominous. We were standing on the side of State Road 68, a few miles north of Pilar, New Mexico, several hundred feet up the highway from the Rio Grande Gorge Visitor Center. In front of us stood an impenetrable mass of rock and brush, right where the map said the trail leading to Agua Caliente Falls was supposed to be. Except it wasn't there. It didn't exist. A rumble echoed through the canyon, unmistakable this time. Before Beep or I could say another word, the skies opened up and the raindrops began to fall. Not a polite, drizzly rain, either. These were big, heavy drops, a cascade of water coming out of the sky with no warning and shocking suddenness. Run for the car, I shouted, and we tore off toward the parking lot, a quarter mile up the road. 18-wheelers rumbled by as we scampered along the shoulder of the highway back to our rented Ford Explorer. Yanking open the doors, we tumbled inside, out of breath, wet, and already defeated. We hadn't even gotten to our search area yet. How did we not think to check the weather, I asked, mostly rhetorically. It's the desert. I thought the weather was always the same here, Beep said, looking perplexed. A pasty Canadian, he was shivering in the passenger seat in a gray fantasy sports t-shirt and black gym shorts, fully unprepared for the deluge. At least he was wearing a boonie hat he'd purchased because it seemed like good hunting gear, its floppy brim partially hiding his people-pleaser eyes. Just as well. I figured he'd be looking at me with disappointment for my embarrassing lack of preparation. Quite the auspicious start to our careers as treasure hunters. Treasure hunters? It still sounded crazy. A few months before, Beep had discovered the tale of Forrest Fenn, a wealthy New Mexico art dealer who claimed to have hidden a treasure chest worth millions somewhere in the Rocky Mountains north of Santa Fe. In 2010, Fenn published a book and a poem that promised to lead searchers to the treasure, if they could figure out the poem's 9 clues. Beep had become completely obsessed with the chase, and I'd followed him down the rabbit hole. We'd flown into Albuquerque the day before and made our way up to Santa Fe later that night. Then early the following morning, Beep and I had stowed our newly purchased treasure hunting gear and jumped into the car for the 2-hour drive north through the wilds of New Mexico, the kind of place that isn't really barren but is still sparse enough that you mostly lose cell service. Once outside of 85,000-person Santa Fe, the starkness of the landscape is stunning, flat and broad for miles and miles in every direction until that land runs into mountains far in the distance on each side. We'd theorize that Fenn's treasure must be somewhere among them, that chest and its cache of gold, diamonds, emeralds. Driving towards those peaks, the only markers of civilization we saw were the periodic small towns, just hamlets, really, a bar, a general store, maybe a school. In between them was nothing, nothing except crosses at regular intervals along the highway, marking spots where unfortunate drivers had crashed. There were more of them than I'd ever expected, more than I'd seen along any other stretch of highway anywhere. They were our constant companions as we drove up, pacing the distance between the only true landmarks on this journey, Native American tribal casinos. They rose out of the plains like the palaces of ancient kings, massive and elaborate and blinking with lights and signs and promises of riches. There was so little along this route, and yet one of these strange oases appeared every 15 miles or so, and the parking lots were all packed. Who were all these people? Where did they come from? They're a bit like us, I figured, hoping to strike it rich, just in the form of plastic chips, not gold coins, and probably just as unlikely to realize their dream. As we'd made our way to the search spot, I'd found myself growing more confident in our solution to Fenn's poem, our step-by-step route to the treasure. It had actually felt as if the treasure was within reach. The spot we were seeking was barely marked. It didn't even show up on Google Maps, the world's current digital arbiter of what's legitimate and what's not. We'd found the location on a United States Geological Survey map, listing Agua Caliente Canyon and, a few miles hike away, Agua Caliente Falls. We'd zeroed in on the sites for two reasons. First, Agua Caliente means hot water in English. In the first line of Fenn's poem, the all-important verse that is supposed to lead searchers to the treasure, he advises seekers, Begin it where warm waters halt, and take it in the canyon down. Many people have taken that instruction literally, seeking out a spot where a river changes in temperature or where a hot spring hits another body of water. But what if Fenn was just playing with words? What if, instead, he wanted us to start where warm waters halt in a different way? To begin where Agua Caliente Canyon ends and then follow the canyon itself off into the wilderness. From there, we'd make our way to Agua Caliente Falls, which could be the site of heavy loads and water high, one of the other clues of the poem. This seemed like a pretty good idea when Beep and I were hashing it out back east, I from my home in Boston and he from his outside Toronto. But now that we were on the ground, hiding in our car, our internet searching seemed remarkably naive. "It's a lot easier to do it from your computer," Beep said, giving voice to my thoughts. As we sat pondering this painfully obvious truth, something started peppering the car. Not rain anymore, but actual physical objects. Hail. Hailstones the size of pebbles pelted us by the thousands as we cowered in our rental SUV, still fresh with its new car smell. I cringed as the little ice balls pinged off the car's exterior with a machine gun rat-a-tat, desperately hoping they were not leaving dents. I definitely hadn't paid for the rental insurance. "Wow," was all Beep could muster. I couldn't even manage that. "Should we just head back?" I asked, realizing how silly I'd been to think we could find a hidden treasure. We couldn't even get out of the car. But Beep wasn't ready to go just yet. He'd been lukewarm about this spot anyway, noting that Agua Caliente Falls was listed on the map at a higher elevation than the start of Agua Caliente Canyon. So we'd be taking the canyon up, not going in the canyon down, as Fenn directs. He'd also politely noted the distinction that in English, Agua Caliente technically means hot water, not warm water, which I knew, but hey, I hadn't heard him offering any bright ideas. "Let's drive around a little," Beep suggested now. "Let's drive along the river." "Might as well." The hail was weakening, replaced by a hard rain, which was roiling the Rio Grande. The river looked mean and dangerous now, the water high and running fast as I took our truck down the road that ran alongside it. Suddenly, Beep pointed at a sign, one marking a side road leading to a small bridge across the river. "That sign says Agua Caliente Road. Is that on the map?" he asked. "Maybe that means something. Maybe that means we're on the right track." I could hear that glimmer of excitement start to creep into my compatriot's voice. So, just to humor him, I drove a little farther down that way, bringing us to the entrance to Rio Grande Gorge. Most of the good maps were back at the visitor center, but there was at least a sign here marking the actual entrance and offering some basic geographical info. Beep got out to examine it. The gateway to the Rio Grande Gorge sat at the end of what seemed to be a tiny town, stuck out here on the edge of nowhere. From the car, I could see a few ramshackle houses dotting the sides of the river. One seemed to be guarded by a pair of ferocious-looking dogs. I thought about getting out to help Beep, but decided to stay in the car. Hey, I'm a cat person. Beep returned sooner than I expected, tearing open the car door, panting with excitement. Apparently, there was a Rio Bravo campground up ahead, which Beep thought might be connected to one of the lines in the poem, "If you are brave and in the wood." His logic was that the word brave is bravo in Spanish, which keeps with the Agua Caliente warm waters translation theme, and the campground was in a slightly woodsy area. And on top of that, there was an advisory that this was a brown trout fishing grounds, which could link to another line in the poem that suggests we put in below the home of brown. Maybe that meant finding or using a boat put in? A place where you'd go fishing for brown trout? Fenn, after all, was a big trout fisherman. "I didn't expect to find anything there," he said. "But then I saw the Rio Bravo campground sign and the map talking about brown trout. So now I think we might really have something." I was still feeling a bit deflated, but Beep's enthusiasm was contagious. It had always been that way with us. I could be the dour, realistic half of our partnership, and he would be the effervescent, never cowed, slightly insane side of our coin. It worked well. At least it certainly had in the past. Beep had served as my mentor when, in 2015, I quit my job as a reporter at the Wall Street Journal to tell the story of the burgeoning phenomenon of daily fantasy sports from the inside. Beep had guided me on the way to claiming the title of fantasy hockey world champion. Beep, real name Jay Rayner, but widely known by his fantasy sports username, Beep I'm a Jeep, or usually just Beep for short, was a legend in that arena, known as one of the top players, certainly, but also as one of the most eccentric. His penchant for wearing a quasi-uniform of a lopsided baseball cap and a t-shirt with an animal of some sort on the front distinguished him on the scene, and his odd talents made him stand out further. He was a former Canadian national board game champion, a self-taught foosball virtuoso, and a wealthy fantasy sports winner.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?